You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi guys, I'm Prasad Banerjee and I write about tech at Mint.
And this is TechCetra, a podcast
where we tackle some hot topics in technology
and also
bust some myths.
Over the past week, we had what is called the Mint Digital Innovation Summit, in which we discuss a lot of the current trends in technology and everything else that's happening in this industry. Now, at this event, we have a bunch of experts from India's overall technology industry, and there are panel discussions on all of them. Some of these panels are moderated by yours truly. In this episode, you will hear Vivekanand Pani, who runs Reverie Technologies, and Ganesh Gopalan, who runs Gyani.ai, a company that deals in voice-related AI technologies. And they're talking about the importance of AI in bringing languages to the internet. It's an interesting session. Have a listen.
Language is a question that has come for a long, long time, right? The internet started in English. We have discussed this earlier as well. And given that that work has been done for a long time, right? What is the impact AI has had on the proliferation of languages online or in general in technology? Where are we today? Let me start with you, Ganesh.
All right. So I think one of the key things that we all started with before all these good days of generative AI is a lot of stuff that people said. Look, if we don't have firstly content in the local language, if we can't talk to machines in the local language, then it is not possible for systems to really work and reach the right audience, right? And in that context, obviously AI has come a long way, right? For example, we've been developing speech to text largely engines. That's how we started, right? And for a bunch of Indian languages, I remember the first few Indian languages, we were the first to develop ASR systems and a bunch of other stuff. Today, there's a lot of work that actually happens in the real world, in the enterprise, that we work with customers, where customers actually ask, can you do these systems in our language? So everybody starts with Hindi, right? But post that in India, it's all the local languages. And secondly, if you go to the US, again, it starts with English. But sooner or later, people ask for, can you do Spanish? Can you do multilingual? Can you do English plus Spanish in the same conversation, right? So I think, obviously, there's a lot of work that's been done and there is, immense amount of progress. And, there is acceptance now a lot in the enterprise on, the importance of language for automated systems to talk to machines and a bunch of other things.
I want you to take that question as well, Vivek. But, you have also tried to reach consumers directly. It's not just businesses and so on, right? So, same question.
It's liberalizing as it could be. For example, English itself reaching this point in the internet did not happen on the back of AI. It did happen on the back of a lot of other technologies, but it didn't happen on the back of AI. So, I think Indian languages getting supported through AI will still need some amount of basic challenges getting solved. And then we would actually see the real use of AI for Indian. Today, it is still, an interactivity problem that we are trying to solve. For example, we created machine translations, which helps the translation industry. But it is still a tool. It is not a machine by itself. It is a tool that means it assists the translators to keep doing their work, which definitely helps reduce a certain kind of errors a lot and improves consistency, but then kills creativity, right? So before we are able to make large-scale usage of AI in content creation itself, I think there is a degree of steps that we should still take on the fundamental level.
So if I can just add, I think the biggest challenge, of course, and a lot of people talk about is banking, right? How do we bank the unbanked? And a lot of people are talking about, or for example, we do a bunch of things around how do you interact, help people interact with machines, like in the local language, right? So we work, for example, we have taken a voice first approach, right? And voice in multiple Indian languages. So people, if you're in a small village, if you want to, you know, do your banking, today we support like a few use cases, right? So we do onboarding, we do loan origination, we do, you know, stuff like debt, you know, a bunch of other things. For example, with one of the largest, you know, banks in India, people can call in their local language and get answers to their basic questions, right? It could be, you know, account balance, it could be get my account statement, you know, bunch of those things. Definitely the bigger opportunities, obviously, that are coming up are, you know, how do we do transactions, right? And you can be rest assured that, you know, next couple of years, you'll see, you know, people in India doing a lot of these transactions over using conversational voice in their own language. Right now, what is being tried out is a DDMF kind of stuff, which really doesn't work, right? You know, the technology is already here to do a lot of this, you know, transaction-based stuff. I think within a couple of years, you will see a whole new, you know, level of usage. They take the, you know, for example, I'm just saying that, you know, take Beam, right? And how do we take Beam to the next level? And that's going to be using voice.
Let me quickly come back to you, Vivek. You mentioned the challenges that are there, right? When the keyboard for the computer is still English, right? We code in English, we don't code in Hindi, right? When we say that AI has to help the proliferation of languages, right? These are very basic problems which AI comes way after all of this, right? Has this been solved? Or are these also challenges? What are these challenges today?
Yeah, very pertinent point. So when we look at, let me take one step back. So let's say if we have to build an AI tool for any language, Indian language, we need data. And which is a problem that we immediately face because there is no data in Indian languages. We call them low resource languages. And then oftentimes we do not question why there is less data. In absolute numbers, we have a large number of users, you know, more in number than English from India. But we have a lot less data in that proportion. So that is the major reason why we tend to think that, okay, we shall build data. Whereas English did not face this problem. The moment we look at the keyboard, there have been reports that said that Indian language typing is 3 times more difficult. Technology should have been helping, but technology has become a barrier. The same people who would write on a pen and paper would find it difficult to type and therefore use English letters in native languages and so on and so forth. So that basically ends up creating a lot of noisy, you know, information which we find hard to keep processing or keep building tools. Now, if we don't build the tools, naturally, those languages for which we can't build tools will keep on, you know, getting left behind. So that is definitely a challenge. Whereas at the same time, if we look at being able to bypass the keyboard, what Ganesh is saying is actually the medium. But to be able to reach there also takes you all that effort of building data, right? So if you are able to build that, then you definitely bring a level playing field where, you know, the interface itself is voice and you are able to do much with it. But does that help in creating all the content? Because ultimately, if the use of the internet is on the back of all the content that is out there. We don't come and keep buying stuff on the internet every day. But we do come and keep looking for things, information, search, read, or even blog ourselves, right? So that would be the real usage.
Is that true for voice as well? In when you look at voice, the problem of data, does that
exist? I think we very clearly, for example, we have the largest data set for Indian languages, right? Annotated voice data for Indian languages. For example, for languages like Hindi, we would probably have more than, 150,000 hours of annotated audio in various environments, because that's an effort that we had to go and build out, right, in order to make these systems work, right? Again, in the right noise environments, again, make sure that it works. So like in India, the noise environment in an auto rickshaw is very different from a noise environment in a train, and a noise environment in a bus, right? So we went out and collected a lot of this data, and that's why we've been able to build out voice systems that are more, I would say, accurate than a lot of stuff that is out there. But the bigger opportunities, or from a commercial sense, or obviously a lot of stuff that you do, for example, on the 8K, right? And this is like telephony and bunch of other, you know, applications, right? How do you get, you know, so that people, you can, you know, use this data to build out systems and which are more accurate than anything out there. And that's what we fundamentally do. So we have solved, I would say, a lot of the data kind of problems, right? And what we do now is have domain-specific, you know, data as well to sit on top of it. And as a result of it, now the systems are accurate, and you are able to solve many of those kind of issues and bypass a lot of the stuff. Because, like Vivek said, a lot of content is not available in, you know, local languages. But let's suppose you just have data accessible over an API in the native language. You identify the intent, and you're able to call those APIs, then it works pretty well.
So who is going to solve this problem? Is it going to be the industry, education, educational institutes, government? Is it a joint effort? Who is going to solve this problem?
See, I think like people, I mean, we are not the only startup. There are others also doing it, right? So, and I think it should be left to startups. I think government can enable startups to do this, but I don't quite agree that, you know, the government, for example, gives, you know, money to educational institutions to build, like, because they can't do enterprise systems. They're great at doing academic stuff, more, I would say, more better algorithms, which are all needed today, right? But we have to deal with enterprise. So things like, you know, building systems, right, you know, using applied engineering, right, and which are more accurate, building data at scale at a very low cost. You can always throw a lot of money, right? Like you can go out and acquire data today for $100 an hour, speech annotated data. But, you know, it requires a startup or somebody who's really hungry and short of money to try to, you know, acquire that data at, say, you know, 5 rupees an hour, right? And that's where I think there's a bigger role for startups to play, more than, you know, academia, which can focus a lot maybe on you know, developing new, I would say, algorithms, fine-tuning stuff for, you know, Indian languages and, you know, bunch of those things, right? A lot of the, I would say, for example, a lot of the, you know, even the, you know, language knowledge is getting lost, right? For example, if you have to work with, say, you know, expert in Kannada, you may have to go and speak to people who are like past age of 60 and, you know, who understand, you know, how root words work and, you know, how are the colloquial ways of saying several things, right? I think there you're going to have organizations that will play a role, right? NGOs and other organizations. But fundamentally, I would say, leave the data and, you know, leave the enterprise-ready systems or the leave things like production-ready ASRs to companies and startups like us. Back us like, you know, China does and other countries do. Right? You know, China, you know, there's a competitor of ours on China, you know, who got funded around $600 million by the Chinese government and other state governments, right? So back us in those ways, but let us run the show, and we will, you can be sure that startups across the country will develop, you know, systems that are far better than what's out there, because you need that hunger to make that commercially successful as well.
That's a good pitch. Before you answer, this work that is going on, right? We have talked a lot about generative AI today. And AI always has moved like super quickly, right? So today when with generative AI and all of this, we have two companies who are doing on ground work, right? OpenAI used, say, even something like Reddit to train. We don't have that for languages, especially Indian languages, right? Where will that come from?
Oh, okay. So a very relevant one. I was very keen to answer the other one as well. But anyway, so content specific to India or our regions and our culture is quite unlikely to be found in the English language, right? So the internet being the system where, so if we would not like not find it there, it would be hard for us to build an LLM that is more faithful to India. However, there are still quite a lot of great sources, which I believe are the, you know, All India Radio, the Doordarshan, the native you know, media that publishes news and so on, because they are more likely to publish things that are regional, talk about regional festivals, and a lot that is connected to the region. So those are definitely key sources. However, unfortunately, what has happened is, you know, a large amount of this media data is not publicly available. And second, whatever that is available in print, it's slowly moving today towards Unicode, but a lot of that used to be available only in some legacy fonts, data, and so on, which is not so usable readily for most people. But, you know, fortunately, we know how to process many of those. We also try and use that. But I think those are definitely great initial sources. The secondary source that I think is a lot more important is letting people create. You know, English is where it is because people create it voluntarily. People being able to create, there is this barrier of, you know, main kaise type karun, wagera, wagera. So the digital literacy, if that can go to schools, when computers are introduced to primary school students today, they are exposed to a Microsoft Word or a Paint and are allowed to type in English. If they could also be introduced to type in their native language, at least some assignments, they would know the fundamentals. They would forget the barrier that this is a device which starts in English and I have to learn something else to come back and use my language. So if those are done, then I am quite certain that very, very quickly, I think a lot more users will start using, because, you know, before voice typing reaches all languages, there's a lot of time.
I think good points, and I think there's a lot of stuff in government, like you correctly said, in All India Radio is a fantastic point that you raised. There are lots of other things in government, for example, which is you know, available in multiple languages, if translation is what one of the things that we're looking at, for example. There are a lot of sources already available, and I can say that for sure it will be great to get you know, startups access to some of those sources, right? So that we can, for example, build those systems as well. I mean, and there is data, and obviously, folks like the OpenAI guys have built, have crawled and got a lot of good stuff, but they also had access to a lot of other stuff, right? Which they used to build the engines. But opportunities are immense, and it's I think there is also a very good awareness in government now of how to work with startups, and obviously it may take some time, but I think the government is also very clear that.
And that's it for this week's episode. Please do let me know what you thought of it and what else you would want me to cover. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Undertaker. Yes, you heard that right. That's UNDERTECHER. You can also give us feedback at HT Smartcast. We're present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And please do log on to htsmartcast.com and listen to all of our productions.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HT Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com.